I just want to share a little something with us today. And I'm going to start here. I'm going to read two scriptures to you and then just tell us a little story. The first I want to read, of course, well, actually I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to say it. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it does say that there is a time for everything. There is a time to be born. And in the case of departed mother and grandmother, there was a time for her to die. There's a season for everything. You know, there's a time to laugh. There's a time not to laugh. There's a time to cry sometimes. Even Jesus said, well, you know, rejoice with those that rejoice, you know. And, you know, mourn with those that mourn. But, you know, in the case of our brother, Pastor Emmanuel, he wants us to rejoice. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. So there's a time for everything. So, you know, I'm sure that they had their moments of grief and all of that. But they recognized that she's gone on to a better place. You know, so, you know, they are celebrating her life here today. But the story that I want to share with you today, with everybody, is actually taken from the Gospel of St. Luke and chapter 12. And I'm going to ask everybody this question, because this is what I'm going to be talking about. The question is, are you rich towards God? That's the question. Are you rich toward God? So let's take a look at this story that Jesus told about this very same thing. And in this story, in the book of Luke, of course, chapter 12, I'm going to start from verse 16. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And then he thought within himself, saying, well, what shall I do? Because I have not enough room to bestow all my fruits. So he said to himself, well, this will I do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater ones, you know, so that I'll be able to store all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, he said, you know, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine rest, eat, drink, and be merry. So this is what the rich man said, you know. He had many goods, and, you know, he was doing very well. And he said, well, you know, I want to do even better. You know, so, you know, I don't have enough room for what I got. So I'm going to build greater storehouses, you know, so I can, you know, acquire more wealth and do all these things. And, you know, and then after he did all that, and he said, well, you know, I'm going to, when I have all these things all piled up, I'm going to just say to myself, so take your rest, you know, eat, drink, be merry, you know, enjoy life, you know, because you've got all these things laid up for many years, he told himself. Well, here's what God said to him in the next verse. This is verse 20 of Luke 12. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose then shall those things be that you have provided? And Jesus made his commentary, footnote, on this story. He said, so is he that lays up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes. Now, I know that, you know, as long as we are in this world, you know, we got to do certain things like, you know, work, go to school, and do all of these things, you know, but, you know, sometimes it seems like, you know, people spend a lot of time, you know, pursuing the so-called pursuit of happiness or acquiring wealth and all of these things, like this man in this story. You know, but he didn't take care of his soul. But this story points out several things. One key thing that I want to share with every one of you, you know, is that, you know, God has given you responsibility for your soul. Because he said your soul shall be required of thee. You know, so he was kind of like guardian of his soul. And he's going to have to give account. You know, and God called him a fool. God said you are a fool because, you know, you spent all this time amassing all this wealth and these things, but you couldn't care anything about your soul. And so that night he died, and he perished. You know, and he died like a fool died. And Jesus said in another place, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So in times like this, when we are remembering a departed one, it gives us an opportunity to reflect upon our own lives. For those of you who are seated in here today, are you rich toward God? You know, perhaps you are doing very well in business. You know, you may be the boss on your job. You may be, you know, whatever it is in life that you are, you know. And you may pursue all of this good things in life at the expense of your soul. So I want you to give thought today. Well, you know, it's a good thing, you know, to enjoy, you know, all the good things in life. In fact, the Bible says for a man to do well in life and enjoy all the good things, you know, that, you know, life provides, and the labor, you know, of his hands and so on. It is the gift of God. You know, so, you know, we recognize that God is the one that gives us the power to get wealth. Now, I want to ask you today, do you recognize that God is the one that's giving you the power for your success? No matter how much success you have acquired in life, it is God that has given you the power to acquire that success. There was a story of another man in the Bible. Some of you may know that story very well. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, he was king of Babylon and almost king of the world at the time. His empire ruled the world. And one day, you know, he looked at the greatness of his kingdom and all of these things that he had built. And he strutted in the palace and said, well, you know, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the excellency of my great majesty and the brightness of my power and my glory and everything? And he couldn't even, you know, give thanks or give glory to God for his success. Well, God was going to make an example out of him. So finally, God said he's going to put him down for 7 years. Now that story is in the Bible. It's a true story. And God put him down for 7 years, changed him to a beast. I mean, looked like an animal almost. Whiskers growing out of his mouth and so on. Claws going out, looked like a monkey or what. I don't know what he looked like, you know. And he went in the bush for 7 years until he recognized. See, so God gave him a second chance to recognize that God ruled in the affairs of men. So God gave me a second chance. You know, now this man that we read the story in Luke also, he didn't care anything about God. He probably never acknowledged God all his life. You know, all he was just thinking about was his success and how to make more money and how to do more things in life and how to acquire more things. And there's a lot of people that is their drive and their focus in life. Just acquire more, get more houses, get more degrees, and get more whatever, and make more money. Now, all of these things are good, you know, but are you rich towards God? What you going to do? If God calls your name, that it's time, that this fool that was in the Bible, you know, that he couldn't care anything about his soul, and that night, he had to give account. God said, well, that's it. You know, who's going to own all those things there? Well, perhaps you say, well, you know, maybe it's the legacy of my children. Maybe I'm giving, you know, leave the inheritance and so forth. you know, for your children and all that. Well, that's a good thing. But let me tell you something else too, that you ought to be leaving. I mean, what you should be leaving behind for your children is training them in the way of the Lord. Now, I have seen on television, you know, commercials, and I'm sure it goes on in real life, you know, that, you know, a mother just wakes, you know, tries to wake their kid up in the morning to go to school and so forth. They're running late, you know, so they just wake them up, and it takes time to wake them up, you know, and of course it's a commercial about something, you know, and they just get out of bed and they rush through breakfast and go to school and so on. And I'm just wondering, and I'm like, you know, do these people even acknowledge, you know, God in their lives? Now, is that you in here today? Do you get up in the morning and just get dressed or get your kids ready for school and that's it? Do you even recognize that it is by God that you even have your very breath? Do you recognize that every day? Or do you just rush through the day and so forth, like rush through to work, come back and rush back into something else and so forth? Is that all you are doing all day long? Well, ladies and gentlemen, your number may be up at any time. Then, you know, what are you going to do when you stand before God? Now, I want you to take a few minutes right now and think about that. While it is good to be rich in the things of this world, it is of paramount importance and eternal consequences that you be rich towards God. And this is how you can be rich towards God. I'm going to explain it very simply. I'm sure a lot of people in here know that, but just in case you don't know, or just even if you knew, you know, but you've allowed the chaos of this life to choke out, you know, the passion for God from your life. So let me remind us, especially in times like this, when we think of a departed one, it is time for you also to think about your life. You know, what is your life, the Bible says, but it is a shadow, it is a vapor, and it will soon vanish away. You know, the only way that you can live forever is in Christ Jesus. Amen. If any man, Jesus said, believes in me, he shall live forever. Amen. If he believes in me, he shall never die, Jesus said. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, that's only Jesus can give you the power to do that. And he has a way to turn your life around for you and give you something different than what you can get in this world. Now, Jesus never promised anybody a bed of roses. And I'm not promising anybody what Jesus didn't promise. But one thing Jesus promised that the world can't give you, here's what he said. He said, my peace I leave with you. Amen. Not as the world gives, but I give you my peace. Hallelujah. Amen. That's something that Jesus said. The world cannot give you peace. Now let me define peace for you shortly, in case you are wondering. Well, you can look around you today and the economic crisis and all of this stuff and so forth. But the real children of God, they have peace. Amen. Now peace can be the absence of trouble. Well, that's good. That's one definition. You know, the calmness, serenity, tranquility, and all of these things, that's good. You know, that's another definition. But I think for the children of God who have committed their lives to Christ and are living daily by the Spirit of God, for them, peace is in spite of trouble. Amen. Even. Not just the absence of trouble. No. You can have quietness even in the midst of chaos. Hallelujah. And I see chaos in the world today. I have quietness. I don't care what they are doing, you know, and so forth like that, because my life is not tied to their economy or their systems. Amen. You know, and I can give you a secret here today. How you too can have this peace and live above the chaos that is in the world. And that peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the grace of God that brings salvation, in the book of Titus chapter 2, has appeared unto everybody. Now, this grace of God teaches us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And then we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, this wicked and adulterous world. While we are doing that, we must be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, for some of you who think that, well, you know, God is merciful and the grace of God, you know, and so forth like that, you know, well, that's why I share that scripture with you before I pray with you in a minute. Because the grace of God, unlike what some people think, you know, I've seen people that say, well, you know, God is a merciful God. You know, he can't send anybody to, you know, everlasting punishment. Well, God is a righteous God. And he will not break his word. And you can, you know, you can't make your own rules. You know, if you want, well, one day you're going to have to stand before God. Now, this world is like a game, you know, that's, you know, if you look at it this way, you know, the game, you know, God designed the game, you know, and the ball is his ball. The players belong to him. He made the rule book, and he's the referee. Amen? You know, so, you know, which way are you going to turn? Now, the grace that people think, you know, will cover everything for them, teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. So you must deny the things of this world. That's the only way that the grace can have full effect in our lives. Now, as you think about life and, you know, what happens after physical life, you know, for some people, you know, the way they must transition into the other life is through death. For others, the way they will transition into another life is at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ through what the Bible calls the translation of the church. And I happen to believe, as some others do, and many people actually, that someday soon, Jesus will be coming again. Well, you know, people say, well, they've been saying, talking about Jesus coming again for a long time. So everybody got sick and tired of hearing it. So everybody went about their business and so forth. But suddenly, like a thief in the night, he is coming again. You know, and when he comes, will you be ready? Praise God. I want us to stand to our feet this evening, if you would, please. Are you rich toward God? There's a song that says there's a fountain that is filled with blood. Hallelujah. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse you and give you the power to become a child of God. It is also the grace of God that can teach you how to become rich toward God. And if you have not been acknowledging God in your lives, if you have not been giving God the due praise that he deserves, like this fool that didn't care anything about God, he thought he had it all made, and he thought he could do all these things by himself. And one day his life was snuffed out just like that. I want to challenge everybody that is in here today. While you are running the race for wealth, for acclaim, for whatever it is in life, are you running the race that makes you rich toward God? That is the question for everybody in here today. And I want to ask us to bow our heads. And I am going to pray. And I am going to ask you Examine yourselves. At the end of your physical life, you must give account of your soul and your life before God. What account will you give? And what are you doing with your life now? How are you raising your children? Are you setting a good example for them? Are you setting good examples for your children? Do you even pray with your children in the morning? Do you teach them the word of God? Do you yourself know the word of God? At a time like this, let us reflect upon this word today. A man that is rich in the things of this world, but not rich toward God, is called a fool. And this man died like a fool died. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the grace of God that has appeared unto us, bringing us salvation in the form of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing eternal life for everyone to come and freely take. Now I pray for everyone in the hearing of my voice this evening, because we must give account of ourselves to the Lord. I ask, Lord, that you give the grace of God in the hearts of everybody today to understand that they need a total commitment to the Lord in order for them to be rich towards God. And Father, give them such grace even tonight in Jesus' name. And for those that have made such a commitment but are now being distracted by the cares of this life and forgetting to nourish their soul, I want to say to you, Jesus said, you think you are rich. You think you are increased with goods. You think you have need of nothing. But he said, you are blind. You are poor. You are miserable. You are wretched. You are naked. Wake up, Laodicea. Awake to righteousness. For those of you that are giving your life to Christ before, but you are now being distracted by the things of the world, I challenge you today, return to your first love. And if you have never experienced or allowed this grace of God to have its full work in your life, there is no better time like today. That I don't think there will be anything that will make our brother Pastor Emmanuel happier and his wife happier than this day to bring some souls to Christ. And if that's you in here tonight, I want to just pray and acknowledge God and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of all life, the very light that lightens every man that comes to the world, ask him, let that receive that light into your life to shine upon your heart. And begin to let his grace begin to teach you how to be rich toward God. Father Lord, let your grace go with everyone here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know that soon and very soon, you will be coming again. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated.